In the Epistle of the Mass today, it is mentioned the final cause of the Church, of the Catholic Church, or rather the purpose of the Catholic Church. Every organization has a purpose. Everything that we do has a purpose. In fact, without a purpose, nothing can be done. We learn in philosophy that everything tends to its end. Even a non-living object will tend to its end. When it finds itself out of a place where it should not be, it goes towards its end, towards its purpose. Sometimes the philosophers give the example, I'm holding this book. This book has an end. As a non-living thing, its end is to be in a place of rest. That is its end. Not having self-movement. Presently, it is at rest in my hands. When I let go of it, it falls to another place of rest. It goes immediately to its end. The end determines how everything acts. And in the epistle today, explicitly is mentioned the end or purpose of the Catholic Church. St. Paul says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." That's the purpose of the Catholic Church. It is that living body that is called the mystical body of Jesus Christ. In that body there are members. And these members are filled with the life of the Holy Ghost, who is the life of that body. They're filled in their minds with the word of that body, which is the truth of faith that comes from Jesus Christ. And they have in all their being, or they are in all of their being sustained by the creator of that body, who is God the Father. And the Gospel of St. John tells us that the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost will come and make our abode in Him. We will come and we will make our abode in Him. Sanctifying grace, sanctification is the purpose of the Catholic Church. Why do we learn the faith? Why are you here in the pews? Why do you go to confession? Why Holy Communion? Why all of these things? In order to be sanctified. This is reminded to us, or the Church reminds us of this, many times during the season of Lent. Do not forget your purpose. This is the will of God. There is nothing else that matters besides the will of God. We all know that. But what is the will of God for me? What is the will of God for all of us in this church? What is the will of God for every single man upon the earth, without any exception? The will of God is our sanctification. When we realize in our day-to-day life this simple, infallible truth, it helps us to put our lives into perspective. To really keep things in perspective. There is one thing that is the will of God, our sanctification. I'm made in order to be pleasing to God. Now as we travel through the spiritual life, we find that there are ups and there are downs. Moments that are downs, the saints call desolation. The moments that are ups, we call consolation. Consolation is given to the apostles in the gospel today. Three of them, Peter, James, and John, experience a consolation that the other apostles will not experience. At least not before the resurrection. They experience it now. But they did not experience it before the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ brought Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of the Transfiguration. We don't know exactly what mountain this was. And he went up to the Mount of the Transfiguration, up to the top of that mountain, and in that top of that mountain, he showed himself as he really was. And then St. Peter made a mistake that is commonly made by souls in the time of peace, or in the time of goodness, or in the time of consolation. In the times when we are not at struggle, happy with our wife, or happy with our husbands, happy with our jobs, happy with where we are in life, We feel good when we say our prayers. We seem to be in a state of peace. We're not aware of any serious sin in our souls. And we make a mistake. A mistake that St. Peter made. And so there is a warning, a simple warning, or an admonishment made, not a serious warning, but a simple admonishment made in the gospel today. St. Peter did not profit from his time of consolation. This time was given to him, and was given to James, and was given to John for a purpose. They wished to enjoy the moment, but they forgot the purpose. And the purpose was their sanctification. They needed that increase in sanctification because that increase in sanctification would give them strength. A year and a half later, when on Holy Thursday night, the same Peter, James, and John would be asked to go away from the other apostles and be with Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and to watch 1 hour with him in prayer. They had three chances to watch only 1 hour. Christ gave them three separate opportunities. Because they did not profit from the transfiguration as they should have, they did not have the strength to persevere through the desolation of Holy Thursday night. And their desolation was much like the desolation that we will come into contact with in our own lives. Exhaustion. Emotional and physical exhaustion. Sorrow about things that are going to come, but we don't know what they are. The apostles did not know that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified, even though he told them that many times, and in a few hours he would be hanging upon the cross. They didn't know it. But they could see that Jesus Christ was sweating blood. They could see that he was suffering enormously, and they wanted to unite themselves to his suffering by simply staying awake for 1 hour and praying with him, as he requested for them to do. And after a few minutes, each time they fell asleep, they were not able to persevere through this relatively simple trial. He wasn't asking them to persevere through the fruit of the crucifixion. He didn't want them to be crucified with him. And we know this is clear because he said, "Not one of my apostles shall you hurt." Not one. Only me. So he wasn't asking by this grace of the transfiguration for Peter, James, and John to persevere unto crucifixion. He was only asking them to persevere through 1 hour of difficulty, a little time after this consolation. Each of us during life have moments of consolation. Sometimes it can be when you're dating a young girl and you happen to be married and it's called the honeymoon. Or it can be immediately after a conversion. There is that time in which we see the beauty of the faith and how wonderful this faith that Jesus Christ has given to us, how wonderful it really is. Or a time when an enlightenment comes into our heart and we recognize the importance and the beauty and the benefit of the simple daily rosary that we do. How much good is accomplished by it. Or the necessity and benefit of some small sacrifice and how much it helps us. There are moments in which we realize these simple things in the spiritual life. And we, so to speak, commit the fault of St. Peter, James, and John, although Peter was the leader of the fault. Lord, it is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. Why did Peter say that? Because he was having a good time in the presence of the Lord. Or as we would say nowadays, he was having fun. He was enjoying himself in the presence of the Lord. And he liked that. He liked it so much that he wouldn't really like to come down from that having a good time. And so he says, let's put three tents here. One for Moses, one for Elias, one for you. And then he hopes our Lord says, well, that's a good idea. Why don't we add three more? One for you, one for James, and one for John. And we'll just have a big picnic on top of the mountain. And leave the other nine guys at the bottom of the hill wondering what's going on. Maybe we'll leave them there for 40 days and 40 nights, like what happened not so long ago. They are looking at things in the wrong way. They want consolation for the sake of consolation. When in fact, the purpose of this consolation is to strengthen the soul so that when the next desolation comes, when the next difficulty comes, we will have the strength to be able to persevere through it. And we will remember, God lets us have honeymoons and marriages, moments of peace and love between the husband and wife, so that when the difficulties come, they will have enough good sense to remember that there were indeed some good things in this marriage. And one of the greatest consolations, or rather the greatest consolation in marriage, is children. And parents need to remember when they have difficulties one with another, that whenever you see your little boy, maybe he's 75 years old and you're 120, but whenever you see your little boy or your little girl, this is a consolation. It is a reminder of love. It is something to remind you of the beauty of marriage. And that no matter how great the difficulty that you are having one with another, if you were not together, there would not be that gift which we call a child. And therefore, you must persevere through whatever difficulties you have. Every time you see your child and talk to them on the phone and yell at them when you're mad at them, every single time, it is as a consolation, a reminder of the beauty of marriage. And these consolations, if we have common sense, are to remind us that as we go through the difficulties, no matter how great that they are, we will be able to persevere. Because God has given us good things. He did not only promise us heaven in the next life, but He also gave us consolations in this life. Children are consolations. There are moments also in life when we have times when we feel good, etc., like the apostles on the top of the mountain. These consolations were given to us in order to give us strength. Let us take advantage of them. When we're in the time of consolation, the important thing to do is to thank God. Thank God for the gift of this wife, of this husband, of these children, of this time in the presence of our Lord. You do not know whether you'll have the Mass here next week. And so thank God for the Mass that you have this day. Perhaps it is the last Mass. And when we thank God for these consolations that He gives us, then peace enters into the heart, a permanent kind of peace. So that even when we come in a time of troubles, we are not overly disturbed, we're not overly anxious, not overly angry. So let's profit from the time of consolation. And remember the other rule that is given at the end of the gospel today. Peter, James, and John come down from the mountain. And our Lord says, tell this vision to no man until the resurrection. It is not always expedient to share with everyone else your wonderful spiritual consolations. Father, I just had a vision of our Lord yesterday. I had a special inspiration. And the inspiration was that we're supposed to do this and you have to change everything in the church because I had an inspiration. It is not expedient to tell your inspirations always. Our Lord says, tell the vision to no man. But rather store it up inside of your heart for strength in a future time of desolation. As Our Lady did when she was consoled by the words of Saint Simeon. It says that as they left hearing these words about her son, she pondered these things in her heart. And it gave her strength to persevere until the moment of the crucifixion when she stood at the foot of the cross. So I'll close it at that and try to profit from our consolations and thank God for them and use them as strengths, as times of strength to strengthen us for the upcoming desolation. Tomorrow morning Mass at 8:30, Tuesday 5 a.m. at the other church at Our Lady Help of Christians. And then First Friday, 7 p.m., sign up for the online adoration. And then First Saturday, 8:30 a.m., benediction immediately before. God bless you all. In the name of the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.